We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yes, Saturday morning. One of the days that you will ride with the king. Not the fraudulent king. Not the player that ruined the Los Angeles Lakers. Because he is a Fugazi, naming himself the king. But anyway, it's a Saturday morning. As always on Saturday morning, many things to talk about. Some things happened this week, which outside the world of sports, I will talk about briefly. Just the fact that I was happy that maybe something will be done to correct some of the things that are wrong in this country. But I think we first have to start off with the Sixers. I know the Phillies won another game tonight, and that's big. What amazes me about the Phillies, and I want let me start with the Sixers first, and then I'll get into the Phillies. A major league baseball team, and there's so many of them now, that can't throw strikes. It is mind-boggling. Mind-boggling how difficult it is to throw strikes anymore in major league baseball. But I want to talk about the Sixers. Well, we'll talk about the Sixers. We'll talk about the Phillies, too. Again, as I said, won another game. The 76ers are not playoff ready. And there's three games left? I don't know what it is. There's three games left. And they're not playoff ready. And I think you could say they're close, but are they really close when they've only had a starting lineup? I think it's 10 or 11 times. Play together 10 or 11 times. How can you have any cohesion? I know basketball is it's a team game, and you need a few important players on the floor. But there's still there's a continuity and a cohesion, which the 76ers do not have. You can give me Joel Embiid all day long, and we know who the MVP now is after Thursday night. Giannis Antetokounmpo. I don't even know if I pronounced that properly, but the Greek freak, who could have been a 76er. It could have been a 76er and didn't go down that road. They preferred Michael Carter Williams, who's with his 175th team, just rotates. Michael Carter stinks. But that's who was selected instead of the Greek freak. But he's the MVP. But I want to get back to the game. Brett Brown said after the game, and they lost it, Milwaukee scored, 46 points in the fourth quarter? Is that what it was? 46 points. Sixers defense is a problem. And I know everybody likes to blame the coach. Not everybody. A lot of people like to blame the coach. And I think that's really... It's not ridiculous, but it's well overstated. It's well overstated. Because the players have to play the game. The players have to have the desire. The players have to have the will. The players have to want to play hard. Defense, I don't believe defense is, if you're in the NBA, is a skill that's hard to learn. It's really giving 100%. It's really having your head in it. It's really having full effort. And I don't think the 76ers, I don't think they have full effort. And that's a problem. I wouldn't call it a big game, but it would have been a statement game the other night when they played Milwaukee. But when Ben Simmons scores 6 points, that's one of the problems. Can't shoot. Can't shoot and won't shoot. And in the playoffs, you're not going to get layups all the time. Layups don't, it doesn't work like that in the playoffs. But to allow a team to score 46 points in the final quarter is disgraceful. It's really bordering on disgusting because that just takes effort. It takes will. That takes a desire that it doesn't appear the 76ers have right now. All right, let's go to the best player on the team. And without question, he is the best player on the team. And that would be Joel Embiid. And there's issues there only because you know now. It wasn't load management where he didn't play for three straight games on the road. It had nothing to do with load management. It had everything to do with the fact that he's got some issues with his knee. That's the harsh reality, and I don't think those issues are going away. But the problem is when he takes time off, and the Sixers don't practice now anyway, and they will have to start practicing in the playoffs. But that puts some wear and tear, and I don't know how much Joel Embiid can practice. But the problem is he's not in game shape. It appears, and now we have a history of it. It appears that it happens a lot, or it's hard for him to stay in any kind of game shape when he doesn't play, or he's hurt, and obviously he's hurt. But Brett Brown said the other night after the game, two things which I think are ridiculous. Number one, that Joel Embiid's numbers were eye-popping. I don't know how he meant it, but he meant it in a positive way. Yeah, he had 34 points. He had 13 rebounds. However, he shot 12 for 31. He took 31 shots. 12 for 31 is not good. When you have about the same number of shots as your points, that's not good, especially when you've taken some threes, and he still takes too many threes. He took 9 threes. Now, do you want him to take as many three-point shots as J.J. Redick? I don't think so. And they both had the same number of three-point shots. 3 for 9 is not a good percentage from three. 12 for 31 is a terrible percentage for a player that's 7 feet tall. That's terrible. It's absolutely brutal. Brutal. Eye-popping numbers? I don't agree with that. And then I'm pretty sure it was Brett Brown that said they miss Jimmy Butler, who is their closer. I know the player said it, but I do know the player said it. And I think Brett Brown said it as well, that he's their closer. Well, did they miss the fact that Bledsoe got thrown out of the game, and I thought it was unfairly. I thought Joel Embiid is good at baiting people. He's gotten two players thrown out where he basically started it. And he got a technical this time, but Bledsoe should have never been thrown out of the game. They missed a 20-point score for most of the game. Brogdon is hurt, so they missed two key players, and they still came back to beat the 76ers. So I like Jimmy Butler, and I think he's a good player. There's been some issues. I get it, but that's what you get when you take players that are talented. But to say that they missed him because he was their closer, well, so did Milwaukee miss Bledsoe and Brogdon. So I don't want to hear these excuses. There's no excuse. There's no excuse for the Sixers giving up 46 points in the fourth quarter. There's no excuse. So one of the questions today, obviously there's concern. Do you feel that the 76ers are playoff ready? Are they playoff ready? Are they ready? And my personal opinion is I don't think they're playoff ready. I would worry about the first round. If they play the Nets the first round, and it's still got to play itself out, but right now they're playing Detroit the first round. If they play the Nets the first round, I honestly think, that, and I'm always honest with you anyway, so I shouldn't say that's an overused word. I think, I wouldn't say it if I didn't believe it, I think the Nets can beat them the first round. The Nets are not a bad team. They're actually a good team. But if they play the Nets the first round, I think they would be in a little bit of trouble. Nets are a good team. Not a great team, but a good team. They're a 500 team. They've played better the second half of the season. Yeah, but if they play the Sixers, I think there could be problems for the Sixers. Matter of fact, I would bet there would be problems. Sixers should win, and they will be favored all the time, but it's not a good matchup for the Sixers, and that's always giving problems. So are they playoff ready? That's number one. The Phillies are 5-1, and it's good. A little concerned about the starting pitching. I mean, Pivetta, the conditions last night were a disgrace. To play in those conditions, it's just not right to play in those conditions. It's not right for the players, but the players wanted to play the game because they didn't want to play a doubleheader today. And I get it. It's a 2 o'clock game right here on WIP, but they didn't want to play a doubleheader today, a day night, and that's what it probably would have had to be, because Minnesota wouldn't want to play a night game on Sunday night because they want to leave. So I get that part of it. For the fans, it was terrible. But the conditions weren't, obviously, not that they weren't great. They were terrible. But still, Pivetta's not been, I thought he would have been better so far. But again, it's only two games. Noah has really not been sharp in two games. He's given up, five walks the first game. He only lasted three innings this last game. And you shouldn't have concerns about Nola, but that's not him. And I don't want to hear about the umpire squeezing him. You adjust to what the umpire does. Both teams have to do it. You adjust. So I'm a little worried about the pitching. But like everything else, 5-1 is early, and the pitching is early. I thought the bullpen would have been really, really good. And that's just been so-so. And I am not one of those people, am not, that wants the Phillies to rush out and sign Craig Kimbrell. He is way out of touch with reality. Way out of touch with reality as far as what he's asking for. 6 years and $100 million, over 30 years old, no shot. Closers don't get that kind of money anymore, because not everybody has a closure, because they just, it's all about matchups. I do not want, and I think he's kind of losing a little bit of it. Still has a good fastball, but he uses his breaking ball a lot more to get people out. Closers that are locked down, Milwaukee has one, are players that throw with real heat. But I don't want the Phillies to go out inside Greg Kimbrell. But they obviously, things have to get better. But people tend to get crazy and overreact, and I am not overreacting for the Phillies to go out and sign Kimbrell. They'll have plenty of time to figure it out in trades. I don't know that anybody wants to talk about the Flyers. I'm sure that most people didn't think they were going to make the playoffs, and they weren't a playoff team. I'm sure most people really didn't believe that they were going to make the playoffs. But the way they withered up at the end of the season is really kind of it's embarrassing for themselves. And we'll see what the general manager. I think Fletcher will go out and try to. He may sign Quenneville, and that would be a good coach. Scott Gordon's done a nice job, but it may not be good enough for the Flyers. But the way they weathered up, and today is their tonight is their last game of the season. General manager speaks on Monday. I don't know that he's going to say anything. I don't know that he's going to say anything about the coach. I don't know what he's going to say. But I don't know that Flyers have kind of gone out of sight, out of mind. Unless you're a playoff team in hockey in this town, there's not a lot of juice for that. So we got a couple of things to look at. And the Eagles, the draft is coming up. And there'll be all kinds of speculation on who they will take. We'll talk about that too. I would be absolutely, positively shocked, if they took a running back in the first round. That's just not, that's not what most teams should do. You've got everything else, and they don't have everything else. There's so many other players that are more important to the football team than a running back. I would be shocked if they took the running back. But we could talk about that too. It's getting close. It's getting close. Probably be some trades during the draft. I don't even think they'll take a player in the second round. I don't think they have a third round pick, but they can trade things to get back into the third round if that's the case. All right, let me give you the numbers. 888-729-9494. When we come back, I want to talk about one of the most sad things in sports and things that I thought were good this week in the world. But one of the sadder things in sports, which the story was kind of came to a conclusion yesterday when we come back. 888-729-9494. If you're on the service that I've been using for well over 30 years, AT&T, that's pound 9494. And on Verizon, same thing, pound 9494. I'm Howard Eskin on a Saturday morning. WIP Sports Time is 8:17. I want to thank all the people that have made donations to support my bike ride in the Eagles Autism Challenge, May 18th. And I can tell you this year's going to be better. I don't even know the weather forecast. Last year, and we all went out there, rain and cold, and did it. But it's not about that. It's about raising money for autism research. And so many people, I mean, I've told you the people that have contributed. Bryce Harper did. Bryce Harper was kind enough to give me a game-used bat, which I appreciate the contribution, $5,000. Crazy, crazy. But it's all for autism research. And Harper was really excited that it went that high. I have another item up. I'm going to close it out sometime today. It's a pair of game-worn shoes from Zach Ertz from this last season, 2018, in which he set an Eagles record of 116 receptions. So there's shoes from a record-breaking year. Just go to my Twitter. You know, I guess I'll transfer it to I'll post it up on Facebook. But tell me what your bid will be, and sometime today, I will close it down. They're autographed. It was nice enough for Zach Ertz to give them to me. So it's all good, and it's all for a great cause. So I appreciate it, and I can appreciate all the people that have made donations. But now I'm in the pretty much in the stretch run of trying to raise money for a great thing to help with autism research. Jeff, you're on WIP.
Howard, the last time I spoke to you, you were at the Ribbit in Cherry Hill.
It's not even the Ribbit anymore. I can't even remember. I was trying to think how many years ago that is. That's so long ago, it's unbelievable.
That's way back in the late 80s, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So
you're right.
I did, I disagree with you. I think the Sixers are going to cruise their first-round opponent, but they must go 2-1
in the final three games. Yeah, but I don't think they will cruise.
I do. I think the mistake they made was resting Embiid in that Dallas and Atlanta game. He had 2 weeks off after the All-Star break with this mysterious injury, and then he needs another load management this late in the season.
Well, I think that's absolute load management was obviously a lie, because then he was questionable for the game the other night he played. That's not load management. Three games is not load management. He's got a knee problem. So don't give me this load management nonsense. And you have to worry throughout. If the Sixers were to go deep in the playoffs, and again, I don't think they're going to go deep, not the way things are right now. If they were to go deep into the playoffs, Embiid, I don't know that he could last at the level that he has to last for this team. Ben Simmons scoring 6 points the other night is a disgrace. Ben Simmons won't shoot. I'm not a Simmons fan. He's athletic and has as much as he has skills, he doesn't have the skill that you need to be a point guard. And he went to the foul line zero times, zero foul shots, 6 points. That's disgraceful. That's disgraceful the other night.
I understand where you're coming from, but I just have a feeling the first round is going to be an easy opponent. But here's the question. If they get past the first round, what do you think their chances are against Toronto in the semifinal?
They don't win.
Really?
Everybody's got a chance, but Toronto's a much better team. Toronto's a much better team. Don't you think Toronto's a much better team?
No, I don't. I really think the Sixers are right on the level with Toronto.
Are you nuts?
No, I'm not.
You are nuts. You are delusional. You probably thought Sam Hinkie was good for the Sixers.
No, I did not.
Oh,
but
okay.
I think
at least
the Sixers
had some
have
sense.
The best roster in the East, and I really, if Brett Brown can somehow find some magic to get them to play better and get the end of the game victory, I think they can get past Toronto.
No. Nope, they're not better than Toronto.
Right, so one last question for you.
Sure.
You don't see them getting past Toronto. Who do you see would be the next coach for the Sixers if they get eliminated by Toronto?
Oh, I have no – here's the – if they replace Brett Brown, I have no clue. That's the problem. It's not just if you're going to replace Brett Brown, and, you know, that's still way up in the air. I don't know who the coach would be because you don't know who's going to be available. You don't know – what coaches may get fired that are good coaches just, you know, reached an expiration date with the team they were on. So to even speculate on that would be foolish.
Would you take a shot at Jay Wright?
Jay Wright's not coming to the NBA.
Okay.
There's no way. Come to the NBA last 3 years and then get fired? No. He has got the world by the you-know-what at Villanova. He will be there as long as he wants. He will always be able to get really good players every year because, obviously, at Villanova, he gets players, he recruits well. He's not coming to the NBA, and he's pretty much said it. You know, he had opportunities before, and I know the Sixers, you know, people think about it, and the Sixers think about it, and there's people at the Sixers that are from Villanova. It would be foolish for Jay Wright to come to the 76ers because he can't get the – he's got everything going for him at Villanova.
I agree with you. Thanks for taking my call. Go Sixers.
All right, yeah. They're not better than Toronto. They're not better than Toronto. All right, a sad story, and it is sports. Craig Carton, I don't know if people remember Craig Carton. He worked at WIP at one time. He worked at our station in New York, WFAN. He was arrested, I don't know how long ago. It was a while ago, but he's just gone through the court process and found guilty of a Ponzi scheme, which is disgraceful. I think he built people out of, it was either $4 or $5 million. Whatever it was, that's stealing money. He used his gambling addiction, and he is a sick gambler, and I've seen him down at the casino. I haven't seen him at the table, but some of the stories, he just can't stop himself. But that's no excuse. That's not something you should get off for because you're a sick gambler. So you, to pay off your debts, you created a Ponzi scheme. Well, and he got a break. He was sentenced to 3.5 years. It could have been a lot more in jail. He was sentenced to 3.5 years in jail. He's lost everything. He's lost a great job. He's lost his family. It's sad, but he ought to consider himself lucky that he only got 3.5 years. And he tried to tell people that he wasn't guilty. I'll tell you the guy that's really mad at him, because they had a great thing going in New York. Boomer Esiason is really, really angry with him. I don't know if he's spoken to him since. I don't know that, because Boomer is really, really upset that he would do something like that, ruin a great career. Craig Carton had to be making over $2 million a year, easily over $2 million a year. And he blows it all because he cheats people. So he got, and that's one of the sadder stories that you will ever hear. A guy that was extremely successful. He worked at a lot of radio stations before he got to WFAN in New York. And that show was number one in the mornings. He had a great career, and he bleeped it all up, which is kind of sad. And now he'll be in jail for 3.5 years. And I don't know if he can get a job coming out, a real job, a real good job coming out. I just don't know, because he still has to get his gambling situation straightened out. And I don't know if a company like a radio station, which the government does get involved in, would give him a job. But let's, first things first, he's going to jail. Hopefully he understands how bad what he did was, and he comes out a better guy. I like, personally, I like Craig. I didn't like what he did. All right, let's go back to the phones. Murray, you're on WIP.
Good morning, Howard. How are you?
I've never had a bad day in my life. How you doing?
You said that about 2 million times. I've been listening a long time. I'm from the Philadelphia area, and you've always been kind of a controversial guy that I've always kind of had like a distaste for, but at the end of the day, whatever your words are, I freaking love it. But anyway, yeah, I've been traveling around.
Here's what I've tried to do. I've tried to speak the truth. And the truth and an opinion, and I don't say things just to get people angry and to get calls.
That's what I appreciate, because yeah. I know even people busting your chops about, you know, your livelihood, you're well off, and your personal style. I know you don't do it for any kind of kicks. You do it because that's just who you are.
I do it because I want to be honest. And the other day I was talking to somebody, and I kind of thought back to the beginning of my career when I was so sweet and so nice to the callers when I first started doing talk radio, which was in 1979. And my program director said at that time, he says, "You don't have to be nice to everybody." And I thought about that, so I just let more of what obviously became myself. And if I had an opinion and we disagreed, and it was like you have this little mini argument with somebody, whether it's in person or it's on the air. But the one thing that people should always have to remember, we're all people. We're all the same. We all have opinions. And the reason I do a lot of this charity stuff that I do,
which I applaud you for.
Yeah, and the autism thing has been, people have really been great in supporting it. You do it. I was talking to Bryce Harper. You know, he was kind enough to, generated a lot from his bat. And he's got a foundation. When he does an initiative, I'm going to let people know about it. It's for cancer. So but those are the kind of things. We're here to help people, and I never lost sight of that, even though I might call people dopes, morons, and nitwits and idiots. It's still, and a lot of times, actually most of the time when I call them that, they are. So what, you wanted to talk about something, Murray? I'm sorry.
No, don't. I love it. I'm from the Philadelphia area, so like growing up, getting someone of that attitude that I didn't realize. I moved to the Bay Area for 10 years. I'm now in, unfortunately, Columbus, Ohio. And it's funny because, like, when I listen to you, I I hear a lot of myself. You know, you're kind and you're honest, but also like some of that arrogance and that jab comes out. But it's our way of being honest, and it turns a lot of people off. Or, you know, it's our way of, it's our charm. But anyway, no, I was just I'm here in Columbus. Jackets just got in the playoffs. I feel so lucky being from Philadelphia, and they only have one team here besides the Buckeyes. And I'm like, the transition between seasons, the Flyers were so pumped a couple weeks ago trying to make a push, and now it's what you just said, I mean, maybe about a half hour ago. It's like out of sight, out of mind. I haven't been this excited for the Phillies in such a long time. Everybody's feeling the same way. I'm just curious where you're at. I mean,
meaning what? Meaning what?
Just your excitement level. I mean, I'm Eagles, Phillies, Sixers.
Well, you know, it's great for people like me and WIP and sports fans, because we don't have those lulls. Now, we're still going to talk about the Eagles 12 months a year, because football is still king in Philadelphia. As good as the Phillies could be. You know, let's not get carried away yet.
I'm not.
As good as they could be, football is still the king, still the biggest thing. So we're going to talk Eagles all the time, but you're talking more Phillies and you're talking more Sixers, although now the Sixers conversation is the fact that they're just not good enough. I don't think they're good enough. And there's issues there.
I feel insecure about the Sixers right now, to be honest, and I agree with you. It sucks. I just feel insecure about them going into the playoffs. I mean, if you're going to back them up, I don't think that there's really – I don't think you have a hand to go into the playoffs feeling overconfident with them right now, and it's a shame. The Flyers, yeah, whatever, it's done. You have to turn the cheek because you have so many other exciting things going on. It's a shame about the Sixers, because the last week and a half has just been a joke, and I don't understand. I just don't understand it.
It doesn't show me that the players have enough inside them.
Exactly.
And that's a problem. That's a problem. It is so hard to just turn it on for the playoffs. It doesn't work like that. You can't just turn it on for the playoffs. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know what the players are thinking, and it's really not a good thing. It's not a good thing.
Let me ask you this real quick. I know there's a lot of talk about Brett Brown, and like I said, I'm first Eagles, then Phillies. So I'm not a half-ass fan when it comes to basketball, but mm-hmm. when it comes to coaching and the inspiration, I understand everything that Dougie P does.
Yep.
But when it comes to Brett Brown, I just want to ask you, I mean, you're professional.
I think he's a good coach. I don't think he's a great coach. And that, but the players have to go out and do it. Brett Brown. And you can't find, here's the problem, you can't find coaches that are tough enough right now with their players. That's the problem. You can't find coaches that are, because the players will shut it down on them. And it's almost nothing a coach can do. You can tell the guys until you're blue in the face, but they'll shut it down. They'll shut it down on the coach if he gets too tough on them. Ben Simmons doesn't listen to everything. Joel Embiid doesn't listen to everything. Jimmy Butler doesn't listen to everything. J.J. Redick, I'm not sure about him. But what coaches in the NBA can get their point across? And if they don't, they take steps where the player doesn't get pissed off and then kind of shut it down on him. Greg Popovich and maybe Steve Kerr, because he's won championships. And that's it. It's really tough. 94 WIP, 888-729-9494. 888-729-9494. On your cell phones, on the AT&T service that you know I use, it's #9494. And on Verizon, same thing, #9494. I'm Howard Eskin, WIP Sports Time. But, you know, before I give you the time, just think about that. what do you think the Sixers really need to do? I don't even know what they can do. Play hard. They're just not a good defensive team. But anyway, WIP Sports time is 8:41. WIP. I'm Howard Eskin. Let's go to Greg. Greg, you're on WIP.
Hey, what's going on, Howard?
How you doing?
Not too bad, man.
Good.
First of all, first time calling on your show. Always listen to you, man. And I just want to definitely give you my respect, man, because you were definitely a Philly staple.
That's nice. Thank you.
No problem. To answer your first question about the Sixers, what the Sixers need to do, I think the Sixers just need to get into the playoffs, to be honest. I know there's not a switch. I don't think there's a switch, but I think they'll understand the urgency. At a certain point.
But you can't just do that. You can't just, don't you understand? You cannot just, what do you mean? They don't understand the urgency is to start to play better right now? They don't understand that?
No, they just learned how to gel.
That's nonsense. That's bull. That's bull. That's bull.
I don't know.
How do you learn how to gel? They've only played together as a starting unit 10 times this year. How have they learned how to gel?
That's what they're trying to do, man. They're trying to get that gel, and then after that, you get to the prime.
Hey, you know what? Just take that switch and just turn it on, and everything's all right. Okay.
Never know. They're professionals.
When is Ben Simmons going to learn how to take a jump shot or make a jump shot?
He's not going to learn that. He's not going to be able to turn that on. But my question is for the Eagles, actually. What do you think about the possibility of the Eagles possibly trading Zach Ertz? Because we have Goddard, and
You're out of your mind.
The money is high on him.
Okay,
right now.
So you've said two things that really define you as a dope. Number one, the Sixers will know the urgency and just turn on the switch, which doesn't happen. And to trade Zach Ertz, are you kidding me?
No, we have a good tight end in Goddard, and we need some position players. And we're tight up against the cat, right? Why not?
No, not that tight.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know what Goddard is? Is Goddard Zach Ertz? No. Nope.
You know he's a monster. No,
I don't know he's a monster. He had a nice year. I don't know. He's not as good as Zach Ertz. And Zach Ertz already redid his contract, so the contract is not a problem for the cap.
Okay, Howard. I'm just throwing that out there. To me, it sounds like a good move. We got a good guy who can block.
Yeah, I know. I'll tell you what. When you find that switch for the Sixers, can you pass it along to them too? Yeah, pass it along to them. Mike, you're on WIP.
Hi, Howard. I'm a first-time caller. I'm actually a Knicks fan from North Jersey, but I actually went to one of your radio shows in the late '80s in Cherry Hill. I was down there on business, so I've seen you in person. But my question is, I know there's a lot of hype about Zion Williamson, that he's like the greatest physical presence ever to walk the basketball court. But what about when Darryl Dawkins came out of high school? I mean, wasn't he the same kind of physical presence as this kid, you know, physically? I'm not saying he's same skill set, but... You know,
no, I think Darryl Dawkins was a little stocky, just probably stronger. But the game's changed. Darryl Dawkins can bully people around. The game is not, the center position is not bullying people around anymore. I know Joel Embiid does that, but that's not the stereotype center in the NBA anymore. They're fluid, they're agile, and Embiid is a good part of that, but not as fluid. He can't defend as well because he doesn't have the foot quickness is whatever it is. He's terrible on the pick and rolls. He's a great player. So don't misconstrue what I'm about to say, but it's different now. Darryl Dawkins was a different type player than Zion Williamson.
So you think Zion has the ability to play a finesse game the way it's being played today?
He already does play a finesse game.
Okay. I see him more as as a physical, rebounder.
He is a rebounder, but he's just He's just much more fluid. He's the number one pick. I mean, obviously, there's no question he's the number one pick. We already know who the first two picks are, and he's the number one pick. So what are you trying to compare him to Darryl Dawkins for?
Well, just you know, physically, you know, that he was beyond, you know, the college game, I guess is what my you know, that he was just physically dominant, you know, for that level.
Well, he wasn't dominant enough. They lost.
Well, that's
and for the greatness of Mike Krzyzewski, he's supposed to be this unbelievable coach. How can he not have the ball in the last possession? Now, I'm glad Duke lost because I think Mike Krzyzewski, although a great coach, is made out to be better than he's a great coach. So I'll leave it at that. However, I believe that Duke at some point, he knows about things that Duke, has done that are cheating. I'm glad North Carolina's out. We already know they're cheaters. I'm hoping Michigan State gets beat because Tom Izzo let domestic abusers allegedly back on the team. And we know I only use the word allegedly because I have to. So I don't like him. Virginia and Texas Tech are the only two teams right now that I think that aren't cheaters. So I hope they get to the final.
Yeah, but even Chamberlain couldn't carry his team to a championship, and he didn't take the last shot if you read, you know, the history book. So it's hard for one guy to do it.
Well, yeah, but they had the Celtics at that time. He did take another team.
I meant at Kansas. You know, when they were in that triple overtime game, apparently.
Oh, I can't even remember back to Will Chamberlain at Kansas. But, I get it. I get it. But he's still one player can't do it. One player can't do it. Hey, Nitwit, dope and moron wrapped up in one, you New York Giant loser.
Hey, Howard, you heard that Eagle loser talking about Trey, Zach, and let the Sixers just turn it on. I'm going to talk about the Sixers, though. I just think that he just, Brett Brown, like Brett Brown as a coach, man, but he just keep putting the wrong combinations on the floor. And we got to win these next two games or we could drop back into the fourth hole. I mean.
Yeah, that ain't happening. That ain't happening.
It could happen, Howard. It could happen. They talking about not playing Embiid and Jimmy Butler tonight. I mean, if Boston keep winning, we could drop back. We're only a game and a half up on them. And if it gets tied,
two games in a loss column. I don't even know what the tiebreaker. Well,
we're half a game up, Howard. Come on, man.
Let me look at the standings. They're two games up in the loss column, I believe.
But they only half a game up, Howard. They could end up with the same record. Come on. You're supposed to know this stuff, you nitwit. But let me just say this, man.
They're two games ahead of them in the loss column. The loss column is what you look at, you dope.
Howard, if we lose the next two games, we'll be tied up.
But if you lose the next two games.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say to you, dope. We got to win these next two games.
And the Celtics have to win their last games.
Did you hear anything that I said?
I try not to listen to you because you're a moron.
We had the weakest schedule going into the last 10 games, but we lost to Atlanta twice. We lost to
One of the callers said Orlando. They're just going to turn on the switch.
Man, they don't turn on the switch. He was a numbskull Eagle fan.
It's like the New York Giants, like your football team. They're going to turn. Eli Manning's going to become 25 years old again. He sucks, by the way. He sucks.
25 years old. How about Wentz? Wentz sucks too. Is he going to make a whole year this year?
Wait a minute. You would take Eli Manning over Carson Wentz?
Because Wentz don't play.
Would you take Eli Manning over Carson Wentz?
In a heartbeat, he doesn't
play.
Okay,
you're done. You're done. You're just stupid. You're just stupid. 888-729-949. That's just stupid. That's just flat out stupid. Dope. Stay a New York Giant fan. 888-729-9494. Unbelievable. On AT&T, on your cell phone, it's #9494. On Verizon, it's #9494. What a dope. And also to let you know, on my Twitter, and I put it on Facebook. Got a pair. Zach Ertz ain't getting traded. He's one of the best players on the team. And I got a pair of his game-used spikes, cleats, shoes, whatever you want to call them, autographed, up on my Twitter page. and I'm going to close those bids down sometime today. If you want them, it's a donation. Just let me know what your bid is. Go to my Twitter. If you want them, and whoever is left standing at the end, and I'll get in touch with everybody that's bid on them, you will get those shoes. Nice item. It's, if you're an Eagles fan, if you're a sports fan, it's a great item. 94 WIP, WIP Sports Time, 856. Some of the better things that happened in our country this week. Lori Loughlin and what's the other actress name? I forget. Was it Huffman? Shamed in court with their indictment. Lori Loughlin walks in with smiles and signing autographs like nothing's happened. She could serve jail time. I don't know if she will, but she could. It would set a it would make a statement. That was good. The city of Chicago is suing Jussie Smollett for $130,000 for the money it cost to investigate his scam of a phony phony mugging. I'll call it mugging, where he said that because somebody worked out some bogus deal. I said, I told you I was innocent. He's not innocent, and we all know it. And Chicago had to investigate something which he made up. So they would have taken him back to court, and if he doesn't pay it, throw his ass in jail. What a fraud. What a fraud. I hope he never gets an acting job again. And if he does, I'm going to ask people to boycott the show. But at least Chicago, trying to pick themselves up from being the most corrupt city in America, they slid past Philadelphia when they gave him a pass. So hopefully they'll regain the status to move back to number two and leave Philadelphia number one as one of the most corrupt, or maybe the most corrupt city in the United States of America. Dennis, you're on WIP.
Howard, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. Listen, I've listened. I'm a first time caller, and I had a call today, and I've listened to you for 40 years, and I've met you before. At Phillies games, and spoke to you at Citizens Bank Park a few times when I saw you out there, and you're exactly the opposite of what is the matter with the Sixers today. I mean, you're out there with the passion. You get out there among the people. You work hard. You do what it takes to get the job done, you know. And I've only heard you say this, and no one else, as far as Ben Simmons goes.
Well, people are now, starting to say it, but he's got a. They can't win with the way he plays. They can't.
A point guard that won't shoot. Is the most ridiculous and redundant thing that I've ever heard in my life. Now, you work for somebody. I worked 40 years. I worked for somebody. He works for somebody. I don't know what this guy does in the off season, but if he's employed by me, he's in a gym somewhere shooting 300-400 balls a day. Where's the passion anymore in these players to get better at their profession?
Well, I'll tell you one of the things that annoys me is, and I don't think it's changed, he doesn't work with one of the Sixers coaches on his shooting. He works with his brother, who is a basketball player, but he works with his brother, who's not even employed by the team on his shooting, and he doesn't work with this. I don't get it. I don't understand how you can... You can let that happen. It's just you have hired coaches to do a job, and let them do the job, and not his brother, because he can get a pass with his brother. If he tells his brother, "Hey, listen, I'm not shooting 100 more. I'm done, you know, or I'm not coming out today to work on it."
But don't they? I don't know if it's a millennial thing or what, but don't these guys want to get better? When I was growing up, I was a marginal baseball player, but. You know, when my season was finished, I would get guys that pitched and throw me 300 balls a day.
Yes. I mean, if you have the passion, it's not the desire, it's the passion to do those. If you have the passion.
I just don't.
You
get
should
it,
do those. I don't get it. You should always want to be the best, and he's far
yeah,
from the
should.
Best. I don't even think he's an all-star, and he wasn't the rookie of the year, even though he was named by the writers. The players named Donovan Mitchell. He wasn't the rookie of the year. He's not really. I can think of players that are better than him that should have been all-stars, but he gets
right.
He gets a lot of juice because he plays in Philadelphia. And you get a lot of attention. They're on TV a lot.
Yeah.
Listen, he's very athletic, and he's got a lot of skills. But one skill that he doesn't have is shooting. And I guess he doesn't think that he has to improve that to the level that he needs to improve it.
Boy, when you're in the limelight like that, that's what you should do. And God bless you, Howard, because you know what? People can say what they want to say about you. You know, and but I understand you get it. You understand what's supposed to happen and what you're supposed to do. I look back, and I can just take basketball. I look at Dr. J. I look at AI. I look at Charles Barkley. I look at Dawkins. I look at all those guys, and every one of them, they always wanted to be better. And when an opponent.
Well, if you're a professional athlete, I mean, think about this. If you're a professional athlete, you should want to be better. Even if you're the best, Michael Jordan was the and is the best ever.
Absolutely.
Okay, but he always wanted to get better. He had the desire to get better. I'll never forget this story. Scottie Pippen told me when the Bulls played here and they had days off in between, they stayed in Philadelphia rather than go to the next city. And one of the reasons they stayed is Michael Jordan loved the casinos, but that's an aside. But the point is they stayed here, and they had optional practices. So Scottie Pippen told me one night, we were actually over at Bookbinders, the old Bookbinders, and I said, "Are you practicing tomorrow?" And he said, "Yeah." He says it's an optional practice. He says, "Well, why are you going?" He says, "Because MJ's there, and we all go because he's going." But he wanted to practice even on optional practice days. And,
really? And that's what you should do.
I know, you but it. It's a different world now. It's a different world.
Yeah, but you owe something to the fans. You owe it to the people that you're employed by. They're the ones that sign that check every month or every other.
Doesn't matter anymore. Today's players just don't get it as much. Not all of them. I'll use Mike Trout as an example.
Works hard. Trout.
And there's players on the Phillies that always work hard. And you could go down the list. They have a lot of them. I mean, Reese Hoskins, you go right down the list. I don't know Harper well enough other than I found that he's really a nice guy. And he was kind enough to give me something to use for a donation for the autism bike ride, the Eagles Autism Challenge. And he's really... it seems like my perception was not who he is as a person. But there's players, and I'm sure he works hard. There's guys that want to work hard that want to get better because nobody is ever the best they can be. They always try to get a little better. But I don't know that Ben Simmons does that, and that's a problem.
The baseball, Larry Bower. He was always a worker.
Well, you know, going back. Well, I'm talking about today's players, which is hard. When you go back, you can always find those players. It's hard to find those guys now. I shouldn't say that. It's hard to find enough of those guys now. And there are plenty of them, regardless of the sport, that want to work harder to get better. But there are guys that don't because they think their skills will just carry them. And that's wrong. Dennis, you're on WIP.
Hi, Howard. Thanks for taking my call. I'm also a longtime listener, first-time caller, so I know you never had a bad day in your life, so I'll just ask you or start with, I hope all is well with you.
Thanks.
Did I hear somebody say trade Zach Ertz?
Never.
I had a part.
That guy was a full-fledged dope.
I don't even know if the Giants are an NFL caliber team. They may be ranked maybe number 5 in college.
Well, they're in the NFL. They're in the NFL, so they have to be an NFL. They're not a good NFL caliber team. Shelai Manning is done. And if the Giants See, they have to draft a quarterback, but they waited a year too long. I don't know that Sam Darnold, I don't know how good he's going to be, but you have to take a shot over Saquon Barkley. A running back,
yeah,
all these dopey New York Giants fans, oh, he's a generational player. It doesn't make any difference. Without a quarterback, that running back's going to be worn out. With as good as he was last year, what'd the Giants win, five games? They won five games because you don't have a quarterback.
He can't carry them.
No.
Hey, I got to agree with you on the Sixers. I've been saying this all year. My nephew and I keep going back and forth. He tells me, they'll be all right. They'll be all right. But they don't play together as a team. And I know, you know, everybody will say they don't play defense in the NBA. But in playoff basketball, at some point in a game, whether it's in the middle of the game or the end of the game when it's tight, you got to stop. You got to have stops. You got to play defense. And I don't see it. I just don't see it with this team. I don't think they're made to play defense. I'd love to watch them practice because I don't know what they practice. So I hope they prove me wrong. I want them to win. I go back to the Wilt Chamberlain days with this team, but I just don't see it, Howard. Just don't see it. I have to agree with you on this one.
Yeah, well, why wouldn't you want to agree with me? for somebody to say that they're better,
I don't agree with you, but I don't call you when I don't. Agree
well, that's all right, question. But they're not better than Toronto. They are just not better than Toronto, and I would be really surprised if they beat Toronto in a playoff.
I don't know
how it's going to play out, whether they're going to play them, but I would really be surprised. I don't know if they could beat the Celtics.
I worry about the first round, but definitely if they get out of the first round, I don't see them going past the second round. I just don't see it.
I don't know why. Players take nights off. You know, all this. You play hurt. I mean, in the days, but when players are playing for such big money, and if you're playing for a contract, Jimmy Butler, I like Jimmy Butler as a player. There's some things he's done which I don't like. But he had a bad back. I know that Sixers are kind of locked into three, but it might be nice to kind of get a starting lineup that has played together for more than 10 games this season, and that's pretty much what it is. That's a problem. That's a problem.
It is a problem.
You're a big Sixers fan. You're a big Sixers fan, huh?
I always have been. Always have been. I kind of strayed from them, I guess, in the 80s and early 90s, but...
So you're a bigger fan. You're a bigger fan of what team in Philadelphia? What sport?
I am the biggest fan of the Eagles. I really am. I mean, I grew up in Longcrest in Northeast Philadelphia, and you know, have been a diehard Eagles, Phillies, Sixers, and even Flyers fan. But you know, mostly the Eagles, Howard. Mostly the Eagles.
So what do they need?
I like to see them get and maybe Jordan Howard is this kind of a player, a kind of a punishing short yard running back. You know, when we're third and one, third and two, we can pound it or we can opt to throw. And Jordan Howard fits that bill.
Well, but I think there'll be another running back. Remember, they LeGarrette Blount, you know, kind of fell in their lap too.
But they're
already out there looking, and thanks for the call. They're already out there looking for those players. And I would be surprised if they don't add another running back. 888-729-9494. On your cell phone, it's #9494 on AT&T, and it's #9494 on a Verizon. The draft's coming up, so there'll be a lot of football talk coming up. Sixers have, I guess, one more week before the playoffs start. They're going to start on April 13th or 14th. It's going to either be a Saturday or Sunday game, the first game of the playoffs, which will be here. They still have to finish the season, and it might be nice if the guy showed some effort, more than they have shown. If you're a good team, you don't give up 46 points in the fourth quarter. Imagine that. 46 points in the fourth quarter. And does anybody doubt that the Greek Freak is now the MVP? He blocked five of Joel Embiid's shots. Five. He scored 45 points. He is a stud. By the way, just to pass this along, which I've done before, Sixers could have had him. But now Michael Carter-Williams is better. I'd rather have Michael Carter-Williams. Now he's with Orlando. Is that his fifth or sixth team? It's a joke. It's a joke. To think they could have had the Greek. And the Greek, it's just, the Greek could play any position on the floor. Any position on the floor. A year ago, people in Philadelphia would have said, if you said, who would you rather have, the Greek Freak or Ben Simmons? Some of the nitwits here in Philadelphia would have said Ben Simmons. I don't think they're saying that now. Phillies play again this afternoon. It's Jake Arrieta. The pitching is, and the relief pitching, I'm surprised. I thought the relief pitching was better. Aaron Nola really hasn't pitched well for his two starts. Nick Pivetta is, you know, you give the weather as a problem last night. In reality, they shouldn't have played the game, but they have to because the Twins don't come in again this year, and they didn't want a doubleheader today. But we'll talk about all those things. Phillies are a good team. Are they a World Series team? I think people are jumping the gun just a little bit. They're good. I'll tell you who just amazes me. The Dodgers, their lineup is absolutely unbelievable. Unbelievable. Whew. And just to, I think Bryce Harper certainly has helped this baseball team. But so has JT Realmuto. So has Juan Segura, or Gene Segura. So has McCutchen. Andrew McCutchen has been a big help, too. So if when people kind of get into it, they are a good baseball team because they added multiple players, and Harper's one of them. They are, without those other players, Harper couldn't carry it himself. The other players, are, and Rhys Hoskins, people kind of, because he was with the team. Rhys Hoskins, and he had four RBIs last night. So there's other players around him. 94 WIP, the time now is 9:19. WIP. Riding with the King here on a Saturday morning. And, all right, it's our classroom lesson on the nonsense that we now bring in occasionally on analytics, and that would be Chuck. Chuck, how are you today?
Good morning, sir. I should just defer back to you on the nonsense of analytics because you're the one that won't stop talking about war every week.
So no, I have not mentioned war me. Once today. I've
you
not
have,
mentioned.
You have it. I've been waiting. You have it.
War. It's still an opinion. War is still an opinion, as far as I.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of war, there's one baseball team that's total team war right now is 1.5, and you almost can't do that if a Hollywood director put it together. You couldn't reenact that war. That's the Orioles. They're so bad. Yeah, it's possible they may win 40 games.
And how about, did they win 2 out of 3 in their first series?
Yeah, how about that with the Yankees? Yeah, go figure early. Yeah. You know, if you do stuff after 1 week of baseball, you have some anomalies that are so much fun to look at. Yeah. I mean, right now the Cincinnati Reds are batting 157 as a team. And they got a good lineup. You know, you got some guys that actually really hit with Votto and Puig and Swizz Kemp and they're batting 150. That's crazy.
Wow, there's 162 games.
Yeah, a long way to go. You were talking about the Dodgers and that ridiculous stat so far. 21 home runs. So if you just do the math and divide and project them out, they're on pace right now for 425
Which won't happen.
I don't think that'll happen.
But here's another thing to consider. The Yankees led the league, led major leagues in home runs last year, I believe. And the team for now 12 straight years that has had the most home runs in a season has not won a World Series.
That's a great stat. That's a very true stat. I don't know what the heck.
Well, see, that's real numbers. That's not all this analytics nonsense.
No, that's the real stats that only Howard Eskin has. You have to come here. You can't get that. Okay. By the way, I think you're pitching today for the Cubs because they're in really big trouble.
Boy, how about that? How about
they have no pitching, man? They have nobody. You know, they check this out. Their pitching staff right now, again, it's early, but everything we're talking about is punctuated by the fact that it's early. It's a given. Their pitching staff right now is giving up batting average 321. The rest of baseball is sitting there. You think about that in a league where, you know, strikeouts are dominant and stuff like that. Other teams are batting 321 against the Cubs.
Well, they've got progressively worse since the World Series. Yeah. And it's they just don't want to spend any money because they have a lot of young players. You're going to make a lot of money. Money is kind of an interesting situation now with them, but they shouldn't. But they'll blame the manager. They'll blame Joe Maddon, who was great before. Now they'll blame him it's his fault. Yeah,
I think he could be first guy out. They're unhappy with him out there because after the World Series, they expect to roll right over and do it again. It doesn't work that way.
Well, they didn't give him an extension either. So I think this is his last year.
Yeah, he's on a very short leash. You were earlier talking about the NBA and lack of effort. You don't see full effort in the NBA when you watch by any team. It's a disgrace. Nope. They just pick their spots. And if you're on the road and have a win on the road, the next game on the road, Golden State will lose by 30. I mean, there's just no teams out there that are giving you full effort, which is the reason I like college basketball. Because, you know, they're always playing defense. They're always trying. They don't let up. In the NBA, you don't see that until the playoffs, and it's accepted. You know, that's just the way it is. And so anyway, we're excited about the Phillies. We can't get over our skis, but it looks good so far, right?
Yeah, it does. It looks – everything looks good. By the way, your boy Trout, and I know you were $1 more than him with your donation to the Autism Challenge.
Because he's not the top, but because he's the best player in baseball.
Right. But he put in his $2,700 donation this week for his and the bat that Bryce Harper, the game-used bat that he gave me, I told you about that?
I was going to ask 5,000. Where are you at?
It's done, 5,000.
Good job, man. Good job. Well, I text you when you said it was about 1,000. I said, that's way cheap, and it is. But you're doing a great job for autism. Everybody's proud of that, and have yourself a great weekend.
All right.
And go Phillies, buddy. What else we got?
There you go. You didn't overload me with a lot of analytics, but that's good.
No, you know, it's not there yet. You know, well, number one, you can make the lineup for the Phillies. Just write them in the lineup card, right?
Well, you do the same thing every day. Why would you change that? Yeah. Why would you change that?
And you won't see as many shifts. Speaking of analytics, we'll close on analytics because they were almost dead last in baseball last year with the efficiency of their shifts.
Who?
And
the Phillies.
The Phillies, Phillies. And, you know, listen, I always say, always used to tell my players, remember we're playing a game of luck and ricochets. No one can predict exactly where the ball is going to go off a round bat and a round ball. And sometimes over a season, things just don't work out. So it doesn't mean the Phillies were shifting wrongly. It just, you know, the game of chance, it didn't work out.
On some players, it will never, it will always be, and thanks, Chuck, thanks for the call. It won't change. So you do shift. Mike, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard, how you doing this morning? Great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you.
Just a Phillies question and then a comment about our so-called mayor. The Phillies question, since the last guy was talking about the Cubs and they're in the crapper right now. Now, if the Phillies are in the thick of it by the trade deadline and the Cubs continue, if the Cubs go down the toilet, like it seems like they are, you think the Phillies would try to bring Hamels back, being they need a left-handed pitcher?
In that situation, I would do it because he wouldn't be the ace of the staff. And in that situation, I would think about it. There will be pitchers available at the deadline, as there is every year, good pitchers that can just carry him through one more year. The problem is people are going to want to re-sign, and Hamill still has his home here. He still comes here quite a bit. I mean, he lives here in the off-season.
And maybe sign him for at least a year or two, or at least a one-year extension.
I think you'd have to wait and see how this year plays out and see how the other pitchers do. But to get another pitcher would not be a bad idea, and he would be he would certainly be on that list. And in this situation, I think it would be good if the Phillies need him, because I think this is the last year of his contract.
Yeah, it is. So, so my comment about the mayor, last year I was working in town. I was leaving work one day, and I bump into Lynn Abraham on the street. And I did a double take, and I shake her hand, and she says, nice to meet you. And then I said, we need you back. We need you back. Kenny is a joke. And she said, him and Krasner are nothing but bums.
She said, well, yeah, she said that to you. So I guess I have to take your word for it. But there's a lot of problem. I don't like to use the word bums, because it just brings in such a what is a bum? But what he is he has not been honest with the people of Philadelphia.
That's for sure.
He has not done good things for the people of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. This city is now, by national ratings, is dropping constantly. It's a city that doesn't have money, yet the soda tax was misrepresented, and it's not going to what he said it was going for. And then he runs commercials for his reelection. He always puts kids in the picture. He uses kids as the props, which is disingenuous, because that has nothing to do with kids.
I would talk about the soda tax, but I can't say it on the air, so I'll just,
Well, that's all right. I agree with you. Hopefully somebody beats him, and hopefully we can bring this city back to where it used to be, and that's really important.
I hope so too, Howard.
All right, thanks for the call.
Take it easy.
You got it. Thanks for the call. Andy, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard. I'm a season ticket holder for the Sixers, and my son and I, we go to them, you know what, the Milwaukee game was interesting. It's the same old stuff. Turnovers, and they didn't have a lot of turnovers, but they had all those turnovers in the fourth quarter, which was crazy, and they need to finish a game. But my son and I were having a conversation. Would they be better in the fourth seed than the third seed? Because,
well, who would they play in the play in the fourth seed?
Well, they would probably play Indiana, and if they went up, they'd play Milwaukee. And we know they don't do well if they get the Raptors.
Well, either way, the Milwaukee and the Raptors are both better than the Sixers. So I think we both have to understand that. Don't ask them to try to lose more. They're already doing it on their own. That's disgraceful. This team is not ready for the playoffs when you give up 46 points in the fourth quarter. I don't care if the games don't mean as much, because you're kind of locked into the third spot. You just have to win one more game or one more Boston loss. So you're kind of locked into the third spot.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's a good thing to try to lose. They did that for years, and it still hasn't worked out for them. All that losing, all that, this is going to be better. And it doesn't, most times it doesn't work. So it could get you into some bad situations. The biggest problem, one of the biggest problems, is they have not played with the same starting lineup for more than 10 games this year.
Well, with all the trades, the question, are they gelling? Are they a better team with Tobias Harris and the trades they did?
Yes.
They are, but they're still trying to gel. And the other thing, I don't know whether this load management for Joel Embiid was a good idea.
First of all, it wasn't load management. Because we know now, because he was questionable for Thursday. So if he's questionable, it has nothing to do with load management. He's got knee problems again. And that's the problem. The load management was, again, not being honest with people, calling. You don't have to keep a guy who doesn't even make the trip for three games and call it load management. It's the prime excuse in the NBA anymore. The NBA has become a bunch of soft players. And in Joel Embiid's case, not soft. He obviously has knee issues, and you wonder how much I can hold up. There's no question he is a great player, but he's not as great as he needs to be if he's got bad knees or a bad knee.
Oh, you're right.
Yep.
You're right. You're right about that. I mean, you're right about the honesty. But again, you know what? With all the turnovers they have and they can't finish, that's their biggest problem. And they proved it on Thursday night.
Yeah, well, how about the Greek Freak blocking Embiid five times? Five times.
Yeah, that's fine, but I think Embiid also had a good game against the Greek Freak.
Well, you know, Embiid shot 12. I hate to break the news to you. He shot 12 for 31.
Oh, he was terrible.
Yeah, right.
He looked rusty.
And he turned the ball over five or six times.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I don't think he had a great game against the Greek Freak. I mean, you can look at the number. Oh, he scored 34 points and had 13 rebounds. Yeah, but he got five shots blocked, and he took 31 shots, and he was 3 for 9 from three.
Yeah,
none of those numbers are good. I mean, none of the shooting numbers are good.
Absolutely. He looked rusty. He really did, especially in
he's not in game shape. He's not in game shape, and it's hard for him to get back into game shape. And they don't practice that much now because of the games.
And if they were smart, they'd play him over these next three games. Maybe not a lot, but they would play him to keep him in game shape.
We'll see what happens. All right, Andy.
Yep.
Hey, man.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. 94 WIP 888-729-9494, 888-729-9494 on your cell phones. It's #9494 on AT&T, and it's #9494 on Verizon. The NFL draft is coming up I've lost track of the days. It's coming up on the 25th of April, so that's not quite 3 weeks away. To show you how big the NFL is, the schedule is a TV show. The NFL schedule is a TV show. I think they do it on both ESPN and the NFL Network. It's a TV show, the NFL schedule. It usually comes out, they haven't announced a date. It's usually the week before the draft. But that will be a show. So just think of all the great things to talk about. All the draft picks they're going to get. They're going to get this guy. They're going to get that player. They're going to get that player. They're going to make this trade. It'll be crazy. All right, we'll get back to the phones. WIP Sports Time is now 9:40. 94 WIP. I'm Howard Eskin. Before we get back to the phone, just the... A quick note, because there's so many important things that need to be mentioned in terms of helping people and helping with charities and helping with functions. One of the donors on the Eagles Autism Challenge and got a Bryce Harper bat, the game used bat. And he has a thing which, the way I interpret what he's told me, a lot of it is in honor of his father who needed, I believe it was a liver transplant and never got it. And then unfortunately didn't make it. So there is a walk. It's next week. It's April 14th. It starts at the Art Museum. And you need to sign up, I guess, within the next day or two if you want to participate in it. It just brings, it raises awareness about the importance of being an organ donor, along with helping families in need of a donation, along with the families that donate. And it's really important. There's so many important things. Apparently, it's a 24th annual donor dash. So I think it's a walk run, but anyway, I put a link on my Twitter page and you can look at it. And there's so many important things that we need to do in life and need to help with people. Autism is obviously, that's why I got heavily involved in that, but I get heavily involved in a lot of things to help people. And this is another one. So if you want to check it out and you want to participate and gain some awareness, you can go to my Twitter, and the link is on there. All right, let's go to Ron. Ron, you're on WIP.
Howard, good morning.
Good morning.
Howard, fans and commentators like yourself all typically disagree with managers, coaches, this decision, that strategy. And that's kind of part of the essence of sports talk radio, right? The disagreement about decisions that are made, right, between fans, commentators, and the leadership of, like, say, for instance, all four of our teams, yes?
Well, it's opinions. I guess you could say it's opinions.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Isn't it a great joy when opinions between managers, coaches, particularly with the Phillies, and commentators and fans line up? And I'm talking about the Phillies lineup. It's like, it's the way it should be, and everybody agrees on this, right? Everybody, this is a sound lineup, and it's stable.
Well, it's better than it was last year, obviously.
Oh, immensely.
Yeah, a sound lineup. Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Well, there's struggles, like, you know.
I mean, I don't look at the words as sound. It's a good lineup. It's a good lineup.
Stable, yeah. Okay, yeah. Good. Like, you know, McCutcheon, he's an on-base machine. Segura's a contact machine. Bryce Harper's an on-base and RBI super machine. And, like, and then you go through the end, and then we get the Mikel Franco, and he's, like, probably the best eight-hole hitter in the bigs. And he's happy being there.
Well, hold it. Let time out. I don't know if he's the best eight-hole hitter, because remember, you have a DH in the American League.
Well, all
okay.
right.
And here's the reality. It's five games. Mikel Franco is hitting home runs. He's hit, what, three home runs now?
Yes.
Okay, he's hit three home runs. I think when you get deeper into the season, they will start pitching less to him, and let's see. And pitchers will be smarter. It was Atlanta the first series, right? Atlanta was the first series. The pitcher, how stupid is the pitcher?
No. Wait. Wasn't it Washington? No. Yeah, Atlanta. I'm sorry.
Atlanta. I remember the two situations in the game. One of them on a 3-2 pitch with the pitcher up next, he threw a breaking ball, which is what you should throw because you don't care if you walk him. All right?
Yes.
The next time up, it was a 3-ball count. And he threw him a fastball. Like, what are you doing? Now, it was great that Franco hit it. He was waiting for it, but he'd swing at a breaking ball. I just want to see when they're smarter pitchers and they become tougher and the situations change, I want to see how that works out. But Franco is okay right now. I don't think he's the third baseman of the future.
Better than okay. He's better than okay.
No, he's got terrible range at third base. Terrible range. He has no range at third. No range. Terrible. I'll say terrible. No range. So he's not. I don't know if he's the right guy in the future. But right now he's fine. You talk about a great well. You talk about a great lineup. Do you like Odubel Herrera in that lineup?
He's doing okay.
He came up. I forget which team it was. I don't know if it was Washington. I forget which game. The team just walked two batters in a row. It might have been three.
I'm out, and then he comes out swinging.
His swing at the first pitch. I mean, what the hell is he thinking about?
Howard, last point on, yep. the bottom of the lineup. Do you think, because, you know, you're talking about, well, they're not going to pitch to, you know, if Franco keeps doing well, they're just going to get to the pitcher. Do you think part of a good strategy is to bat the pitcher eighth instead of ninth and put Franco in the nine hole? What do you think about that?
No. I all of a sudden now we want to get cute because Tony La Russa did years ago.
All right, that's an idea. Yeah. But we have a good lineup and they're a joy to watch. That's my main point. We have a good lineup. It's stable for the first six games and they're a joy to watch.
Yes, they are a joy to watch. The lineup stays the same every day. You don't need to change it. So you just leave it, and
Howard,
they're going to play, and these players are going to play a lot of games, so you don't need to change
Howard,
it.
And Howard, believe me, over 33 years, you're a joy to listen to.
Well, so that you've been listening for 33 years?
Since I was a teenager.
I've been on the air longer than 33 years, and I'm only 38 years old. How about that? I started as a young kid. No, kidding, obviously. But I've been on the air that long, and it's just, it's still fun. As long as it's fun, I still do it. And I don't say things because it gets people angry. I say things because I believe them. That's for me, that's important. All right. Phillies play this afternoon at 2 o'clock, Minnesota Twins, right here on Sports Radio WIP. The Phillies play tomorrow. The Sunday games, by the way, if people aren't aware, the Sunday games are now 1 o'clock. So people get into habits, but the Sunday games are now 1 o'clock. So when they're not a night game. So tomorrow's game is 1 o'clock, again, right here on Sports Radio WIP. And then they play on Monday. I think Washington comes in. I kind of lose track of the schedule. There's so many things. There's so many balls in the air. But regardless, they're still home next week for a few games as well. Again, thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks for continuing to make donations to my bike ride on the Eagles Autism Challenge. I have an item up there right now, and it's the Zach Ertz Game Ward shoes from his record-breaking season last year, which are autographed. I will have other things, and I ask people to just make donations, and I'll put that the link up again sometimes today. It's along my Twitter timeline somewhere, so you can find it. And I'll probably close out the bidding on the shoes sometime this afternoon, so get in on it. And thanks to everybody that had made contributions and donations, whether it's for items or just making a straight donation, is always appreciated. And what you'll appreciate is Glenn and Ray. They're both working today. Is that correct? Okay. You never know. You never know when one guy's taking off. Okay. They're not at Delaware Park. They're at Wake. Well, which is Delaware Park, by the way. That is Delaware Park. All right. So Glenn and Ray are coming up next. Everybody have a great week. I will try to think of the next time I'm on. I don't know, but just follow the bouncing ball. And I know one time I'm on Tuesday to make sure Angelo keeps it honest, which he rarely does, and that'll be Tuesday morning. WIP, I'm Howard Eskin. Thanks again. Everybody have a great day and a great weekend, and stay safe. WIP Sports Time, 9:55.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.